Don't spend another winter with your home colder than it should be. Hi, I'm Roy Spencer with PermaSeal. We measure the amount of heat loss and recommend solutions to keep it comfortable. Call PermaSeal for your free estimate, 800-421-SEAL, or visit permaseal.net.
I was just explaining the Guevara case, the Chicago police detective who was testifying this week in the civil matter. And he took the Fifth Amendment, I think 80 times or maybe more. What do you make of that, and how does that impact a jury who's deciding whether or not the police department committed, some wrongdoing that ended, that basically put someone in jail wrongfully?
Sure. So, I've been following that case a little bit. Obviously, in civil cases, when you plead the Fifth, you can still be put on the witness stand, and the jury can draw what's called an adverse inference from your pleading the Fifth. You can't do that in a criminal case, but in civil cases, if somebody pleads the Fifth, the jury is allowed to draw an inference that what they would have said would have been incriminating. They're not required to draw that inference. So in reality, when jurors hear a police officer in that situation plead the Fifth, I think their natural tendency would be to think they've got something to hide, or they're afraid that if they said something, they would incriminate themselves. Now, the lawyers representing the police in that case have been, trying to explain to the jury that the Fifth Amendment protects innocent people, which it does. And there are other reasons to plead the Fifth, but I think a jury would probably have a pretty sour taste in their mouth with a law enforcement officer taking five.
Damon, I was talking a little bit about the reasons that a person may not want to testify, and I went through the idea of the criminal history and it could be used against you in the sentencing and the like. And prosecutors are good lawyers, and they can make mincemeat of somebody who is not a person who's used to being on the witness stand. But how do you explain to a jury? What are the words you use to explain to a jury why my client didn't testify and why it shouldn't be held against him? Even though the law says the jury can't, jurors still might want to try to do that. How do you explain it?
Yeah, I think it's something you have to address. They do get that instruction from the court, as that a client's, client not testifying cannot be held against them. It depends on the case. I've said in other cases, look, when my client pled not guilty, he testified. He told you he didn't do it. And every question I asked during cross-examination, you understood he didn't do it. And he doesn't have to testify. That's not how the rules work, right? And you sort of explain to them the importance of somebody not being made to be a witness against themselves. But it's something you usually have to deal with. And depending on the case, right, jurors can sometimes accept that. And, if you have a really good defense and you've done a great job of cross-examination, there's nothing for your client to say. In other cases, like I can think of a self-defense murder, right? You've got to put your client on. So it's really case specific. I do think jurors try to follow that. I'm not saying that they always do. I've spoken to some jurors after cases and asked specifically about that issue. And I think jurors try to respect that if they can.
And let's talk about the decision to testify or not. I mean, have you ever been in a situation where your client really, really, really wants to testify, but you really, really, really think it's a bad idea? And how do you address that with him or her?
Yeah, it's one of the hardest decisions that a criminal defense lawyer has to make. First of all, it's not our decision. At the end of the day, the defendant, the client, has the absolute right to testify. But in reality, they're going to listen to us. What I'll do if I have a situation where my client wants to testify and I think it's helpful to the case, I will prepare him to do that. It's usually a game time decision, though. You have to be ready to go. And sometimes what I'll do if I really don't think my client's testimony is going to help the defense, and I think it will sort of undo some of the work we've done, I'll conduct a mock cross-examination where I will go after them really hard as a prosecutor would. And what I tell my clients is, we do a lot of work in defending cases on cross-examination and sometimes calling witnesses, and we score a lot of points. But the moment a defendant testifies, none of that really matters all that much, because now everything is focused on the defendant's testimony. So you can do a lot of great work, knocking out their witnesses and attacking the credibility of the case. But once your client takes that long walk up to the witness stand, all bets are off. And if a jury doesn't believe them, then, it's, most likely going to be a guilty verdict. So it's a big risk-reward sort of analysis you've got to go through.
Let's talk about Ghislaine Maxwell. She was the long-term companion, of course, of Jeffrey Epstein, who was convicted of sex trafficking, sentenced to 20 years in she was convicted of sex trafficking and sentenced to 20 years in prison. And this past week, she was called to testify by Congress, and she took the Fifth Amendment. Now, she has already been convicted and is serving her sentence. Does she still have a Fifth Amendment right not to incriminate herself?
I think she does, certainly. First of all, I'm not sure what the status of her appeals are right now. Maybe those have come and gone already. But there are other things that she could probably be charged with, you know, and you know, unless she had immunity, it would be very difficult for a judge to compel her to testify because the statute of limitations being what they are, I'm sure there are other alleged accusers out there. So she'd have to be very careful. Just because she was convicted of certain counts does not mean her Fifth Amendment privilege has evaporated as to anything Epstein-related. So, no, she certainly has a good faith basis to assert the Fifth Amendment, you know, in these proceedings.
And immunity would have to be given by every possible jurisdiction. The Congress couldn't give her immunity. It would have to be every state where she lived and the federal government, right?
Yeah, no, and I've had situations where, you know, that's been an issue when you have, federal and state actors. You've got to make sure that you get everyone on board for that. And with the allegations, you know, against her and Epstein, that's probably a pretty big, tall order. However, you know, I think the vast majority of these situations would potentially have maybe federal jurisdiction now. I mean, I think the state statute may have run on a bunch of these. And she's got a really good lawyer. I mean, he's a top-notch lawyer. And obviously he's looking into these things for her. But no, she definitely has a right to invoke.
And her lawyer said that if President Trump gave her clemency, she would testify or consider testifying. And a lot of people are saying, well, ick, that looks really bad. Is there anything legally improper with either making that offer or having the president grant her clemency in the event that she said that she would testify?
Well, if you look at just cases sort of in the Northern District and you have cooperating witnesses, right? The cooperating witnesses really don't know what benefit they're going to get, right? At the end of the day, the plea agreements usually say, look, if you cooperate fully, if you give what's called substantial assistance, once you get sentenced, we will make a recommendation and it's up to the judge, right? Because the prosecutors don't want jurors thinking that they have all of the power and that people's testimony is being purchased. Right. So what you have now is Ms. Maxwell wanting to put the cart before the horse. Give me what I'm asking for, you know, pardon me or whatever it is, and then I'll tell you what you want to hear. So that would have really the information that she would give would technically be bought and paid for. Right. She'd get a get out of jail free card. And obviously she's going to say things that would inure to the benefit of the people, I think, who are giving her those rewards. So whether or not it's proper, and I don't think there's anything improper in saying that as a lawyer, because most lawyers want to know what's in it for their client, right? But it's not something that is usually done in the federal system. And I think that if that were to happen, then whatever she said would be looked at with, you know, even probably more scrutiny than it already would be.
And of course, the president has the absolute right to grant a pardon or clemency, you know, or commutation of a sentence, meaning she could get out but not get, not have the conviction overturned. I mean, as long as it's a federal conviction, he would have an absolute right. And if there were conditions on it, that would not be improper.
Yeah, as we've seen, I mean, he can pardon anybody for any reason, right? And then it's sort of an absolute power that presidents enjoy. I mean, I think it's gotten a lot more, you know, historically there have been other, you know, questionable pardons, right? Including when Nixon was pardoned by Ford, but you know, it's just taken on a different light now because of some of the pardons that have been given. But yes, Trump has the absolute right to pardon, I think, for whatever reason.
Damon, thank you so much for joining us. I want to give the intro now. Damon is one of the most experienced and aggressive criminal defense lawyers in the city. He is a founder of Sharonis and Parente, and he advocates for people charged with very serious crimes, federal white-collar violent crimes, drugs, and sex crimes, and he represented film mogul Harvey Weinstein. Thank you so much for joining us. How could people get a hold of you if they're in real trouble?
Yeah, my website's probably the best way to get a hold of me. It's www.sharonislaw.com. And Karen, thanks again, as always, for having me. Sorry I was a little late today.
No problem.
But it's always a pleasure talking to you.
All right, Damon, you take care.